As I started to recognize that, as I started to put myself on a different pursuit or a different path, in both my ambitions in regard to business, as well as my internal thoughts and feelings, at that point in time, I really started to practice meditation and inward reflection more and more. And the more I did that, the more I realized that the only thing that I have control of is myself, my own emotions.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the What the Faith podcast. We're so excited to get back into the rhythm of things. We've taken the last 2 weeks off. Life has just been absolutely crazy. 2 weeks ago, we had our first What the Faith webinar event, which is why we chose to take that week off from any podcast episodes. And the event was great. We had about 100 people sign up and join us, talking all about shifting faith and what life looks like for people who are navigating new realms of faith communities, or if they've left their faith communities. So if you'd like to access that recording because you weren't able to join us live, you can do so at our website, and we'll also include a link in today's show notes. And last week, which is our second week off, Ash and I ended up having a week off and went to Boise, Idaho. As I'm sure many of you know, the West Coast is fighting some pretty awful fires right now, and the smoke has just been completely unbearable. We had already had a camping trip planned, and so that was kind of our opportunity to pre-evacuate, and our campsite just got too smoky, so we decided to drive a few more hours east and stay in Boise for the week. We actually ended up staying with Barrick, who was on our podcast a few episodes ago, so if you haven't listened to that recording yet, be sure to listen in and hear more about Barrick's story. We really, really enjoy him and appreciate his friendship. But today's episode, we could not be more excited to bring you Trey Kaufman. We really, really loved our discussion with Trey. And Trey Atzi is passionate about something that Ash and I have been thinking a lot about lately, which is how spirituality can play into other aspects of our lives. So how can faith help us not just become better internally and emotionally, but also help us be better workers, be more productive, have better relationships with people. So it's a topic that we've been thinking a lot about, just like within the context of Ash and I's private discussion. So to be able to kind of translate that into a podcast recording was a lot of fun, and to learn more about Trey. Trey, you know, he's also a podcaster and he's an entrepreneur, and his whole goal is to answer the question, how can we do better? So he's all about having conversations with leaders and authors, and his mission is to really help others awaken within themselves the understanding that happiness is a frequency we can attune to. Happiness is not an external force or a material good. So Trey was a lovely guest. I loved his story. His faith journey is, I think, one that's a lot more applicable to a lot of people, you know, and he kind of goes through his own path and how he's found spirituality to help him in his daily life. So we hope you enjoy this episode and this conversation, and yeah.
First, let me say, I love the name of the podcast. It's very provocative and it really gets people's attention. So kudos to you for that. So I guess my faith, as it were, kind of runs the gamut. I grew up in a Christian household. My parents, they were never extremely strict with our faith, but we did go to church every Sunday. I was involved in Sunday school and youth group, and I guess we were considered Protestants, though I know we switched churches as we kind of moved around and grew. Did practice communion when the time was there. And then I guess probably toward my high school years and as I got into college, I started to ask myself, you know, was this the best path for me? I started seeing things around the world that were caused by what my perception was, people who were following a God that was telling them to cause destruction to others, whether that be Islam or Muslims or Christians or anybody who was causing war. And I started to question myself, started to question what I grew up believing, and just thinking that you know, anybody, why would anybody follow this if it was just causing conflict? And so I guess I started to think of myself as an atheist before I even knew what that meant. I started to rebel against what I grew up as. And, you know, really since then, since graduating college and starting to grow into myself a little bit more, I realized that I'm never going to be smart enough to know everything in the world and or in the universe, and I don't want to claim to be. So I, at this point, I don't know if you'd call me an agnostic. I try to practice the tenets of Buddhism as much as I can, but I'm certainly open to any and all possibilities. And, you know, especially in a time like this, just trying to love and encourage others in what their pursuits are, as long as we can all do our best to, you know, grow instead of tear down each other's life, each other's happiness.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting, your experience of kind of what you saw in the faith that you were growing up with. Could you kind of maybe just expand a bit more on what that was like and kind of what you found that just like really just didn't settle well with you, where you kind of started realizing that the faith didn't really fit who you were?
Yeah. You know, so I don't think I was ever really a person who grew up reading the Bible. It was listening to stories and sermons by the pastors and ministers. And I was always, I guess, interested in those stories. They were always fascinating to me, but I had never really received the answers that I guess I wanted to from those types of stories. And so as I asked questions, you know, if you know, God loves all, if he has control of all, then why is there suffering? Why is there misery in the world? You know, it's those thought-provoking questions that you'll hear people on the far atheist side asking. And there was just not anything that anybody could provide me an answer to. And so I started to identify with that side a little bit more than, I don't know, I don't want to be a discredit to myself, but, or to any others, but I moved that way in the sense that I thought that, oh, everything having to do with God is wrong. Everything having to do with faith is going to put me in a position where I guess this is a difficult conversation for me because it's hard to articulate exactly what it is that caused that shift. Maybe it was being in a liberal arts college that, you know, being around all these people who were quote unquote free thinkers and not accepting the, I guess, the societal or faith-based norms. I don't know. That's a very good question. I need to kind of ponder a little bit more.
Totally. And I'm interested, you know, because you kind of touched on it there, where a big tension for you, and I've talked to a lot of atheists or agnostics who have also had that, where, well, if there is a God and God is all loving, then why is there destruction in the world? And right. Why are there people that follow faith practices? And I mean, you look at the history of pretty much every religion ever, especially Western religion, people have used their faith to bring about harm and danger to people. And I think that a lot of discussions I've had with people who, you know, lean more agnostic atheists really just like can't wrap, you know, that there's a big tension there. So I'm interested. So, you know, but now you're practicing more like Buddhism, technique. So what kind of like made the jump for you from going from totally atheist agnostic to at least implementing some faith into your life?
I think it was a couple years ago, I realized how much ego played and how much of a role ego played in my life and how truly narcissistic I was in believing that I had all of the answers to anything. I all the time credit Ego is the Enemy by Ryan Holiday, that book, having just such a profound effect or shift in my path. It made me really realize or start to question where my motivations were coming from. As I started to recognize that, as I started to put myself on a different pursuit or different path, in both my ambitions in regard to business, as well as my internal thoughts and feelings, at that point in time, I really started to practice meditation and inward reflection more and more. And the more I did that, the more I realized that the only thing that I have control of is myself, my own emotions, and how I react to the world outside of me. I can either react poorly and try to stigmatize the things that I don't understand or the things that I don't like, or I can be happy with, or I can find that happiness internally, be happy with how I react to situations and try to provide or try to reflect my best self outward. And hopefully with that, it comes with helping others, whether you're Christian or whether you're Islam or Muslim, just trying to really, in essence, put my best foot forward. I think it was that self-awareness and that self-reflection that really helped open my mind to the possibility that, hey, maybe I'm not right about all of this, or maybe nobody's right. Maybe there are answers out there that we just can't, or there's questions out there that we just can't answer.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good perspective. I know for a lot of people too, myself and others, where just when you stop trusting your faith, especially as a Christian or a Christian adjacent, as Western faith, it can be kind of hard to experience whether you face spiritual abuse or whether you just kind of, it doesn't fit you anymore. And I think that's interesting what you're talking about with exploring kind of a different perspective of faith. Like, instead of looking outward at the things that could be affecting us, like looking inward to ourselves as like a new way to approach faith.
And, you know, I guess if I were to give myself 10 years ago any piece of advice, it's that there's going to be positive and negatives to really anything you really dive deep into. And what I love about the vast majority of religions, and I am by no means a religious scholar, is that there are tenets of all religions that are there to help others, to help people grow both internally and to, you know, provide relief to others who are suffering. And that's extremely important, because a lot of people find community in that. And it's this, again, to a message to my old self, it's ridiculous to write anybody off, because everybody is just trying to alleviate suffering and trying to do their best in this world.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I think this is like a great just like testimony to how when you apply faith to your life in a positive way, like how much good it can do. Because I think it's really easy to get stuck, you know, and I can't totally speak to that because I haven't really like left to faith in a negative way or just like viewed faith in a negative way. But like, I think that oftentimes I've seen people like do get stuck in kind of that rut or thinking around faith, where it's like, well, all of this is bull crap or whatever. So like, and you know, the world's just like a place where there's no belief in anything, like a force greater than yourself. And I think a lot of people get stuck in that. Like, I'm in so many different like agnostic Facebook groups.
Yeah.
And, you know, or like, you know, atheist versus Christian debate groups. And like, though there's like really great debates sometimes in there, like oftentimes the conversation is always about either being like 100% right or 100% wrong.
Right.
And like why the other side is so stupid. you know, and so.
Yeah.
So you started like diving into, you know, Buddhism. I also know you've mentioned, at least from other talking, about Stoicism.
Stoicism, yeah.
Could you elaborate more on that? Because I know that's a topic Ashton's really interested in.
And I will very quickly claim that I would love to, at some point in my life, become a practicing Buddhist. Right now, I'm reading about it. I'm trying to practice the philosophy of it as best as I can. But I would certainly not by any means consider myself a master in it. Meditation is that element of it that I'm really trying to develop a deep practice around. Especially daily. I'm sure like for many others, it's similar to prayer or to taking time to yourself to reflect inwardly and focus your mind. And that has a lot to do with Stoicism as well. And, you know, the things I just mentioned, Stoicism is such a deep philosophy. It's hard to kind of bring it into one soundbite, but in essence, it's what I was describing earlier. Knowing that you have control of yourself and the outside world is not something within your control. And so how you choose to react to certain situations, how you choose to emote is within you. And so that practice really took me from being a very angry individual probably 4 or 5 years ago to knowing that I have the choice when somebody cuts me off on the road to scream and shout and punch my steering wheel, or realize that what that person did to me may not have been malicious intent. And in fact, even if it was, I have the choice of being extremely angry about it, or I can remain calm and relaxed. And what is of the most benefit to me? It's to be calm and relaxed, because nothing good will come out of getting angry and shouting and potentially getting into a road rage incident. And so the idea of stoicism, in essence, is remaining in control of yourself.
That's, yeah, I don't know. Do you
have any? I think that's a great way to reapproach this kind of thinking. I think that's because, again, going back to like the shift in faith, mm-hmm. where I think it sounds like one of the main entryways is through philosophy,
right,
into kind of regaining control over yourself and life and kind of finding a new balance.
Yeah.
What are some of the pieces of like the Stoicism or the Buddhist philosophy? Because I mean, there's a lot of relations to them in kind of understanding yourself on the inside. What are some of those that have you found really, you know, had a huge impact on your life?
You know, I think one of the very first things that had a major impact, and I don't even know if, I mean, it, there are aspects of Stoicism within it. There was an exercise that I took part of. I heard about it from Tim Ferriss, and I know he heard about it from somebody else, but it was wearing a silicone wristband. And then every time you feel yourself losing control or getting angry, you switch wrists. It was enough of an inconvenience that you made yourself aware. And so the idea was to go, I think, 20 or 30 days without switching wrists. And that allowed me to really recognize when I was losing control of my own emotions. And it allowed me to say, hey, Trey, it's time to take a look at yourself and re-navigate, which in essence is what meditation does. So often I hear, oh, I'm not a good meditator. I can't keep my mind blank. I can't not think about anything. That's not the idea of meditation. The idea of meditation is to recognize when you have a thought and accept that thought and then move on. And when you are able to train your mind to do so, you're able to move through life much more freely without being distracted by these unnecessary thoughts or these unnecessary feelings or unnecessary emotions.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like that's so applicable, and something that I've been thinking a lot about is like how faith practices or just like internal thinking about our relationship as a human being to just like the universe around us is so important right now.
Right.
You know, like I think that like when the perks of faith, I guess, if you want to say, like, shine the most is during complete chaos.
Right.
You know, yeah. Like being able to like sit back and like either do like internal reflection or just also feel like the weight of the world's not totally on your shoulders can be a very like freeing thing.
It
and
is.
I know we talk to so many people, especially just like right now with everything going on in the world and especially our nation, like some of the most, I don't know, like even keeled or people that have just brought a lot of like knowledge or great reflection on what's going on are often people who have like done that internal reflection first.
Yeah.
And I do think that there's so much value in that. So as far as like you personally, whether that be in your personal life or your work, how did implementing, you know, Buddhism and kind of having the spiritual awakening positively impact your life, whether that be just personal or work related?
Yeah, that phrase is very interesting. A spiritual awakening is not something that I really heard much about I don't know how much context you'll give, but I do host the Mosaic Life podcast, and I had a guest on several months ago. His name was Scott. He is actually a documentarian, and he's doing a documentary on spiritual awakenings. And I really didn't know the terminology before that. And as I learned more about it, I realized, oh, wow, 3 or 4 years ago, I had my own gradual spiritual awakening. It started from just wanting to finally pursue all of the things in my life that I said I was going to, but I was never doing it. I was kicking the can down the road saying, I'll do it tomorrow. And finally realizing that these things are not going to happen for me overnight. And that's when I really started to take the negativity out of my life, take the poor influences out of my life. A silly example, but a relevant one here. At the time, I was working for somebody else, and I had about a 20-minute commute to work, and I would listen to morning radio, which is, I apologize if I offend anybody, but it was trash. And so that 20 minutes there and back allowed me, once I realized, to listen to podcasts that were actually teaching me more about business and about life and about faith. And with that, I was able to start to muster the courage to put a business plan together to eventually launch my own business, which was extremely important. And through these podcasters, through these really inspirational human beings, I was able to reestablish habits, or I guess establish habits in my life that were positive, from quitting drinking to taking ice cold showers every morning to intermittent fasting, and just to things that would optimize not only my body, but my mind and my soul as well.
I think that's interesting too, that mention of the body and the mind. What for you, what are the connections, or how do you find the connections between the two? Between, because I realized too, whether doing a fast or whether doing this vigorous exercise or whatever.
Wim Hof.
Yeah.
Wim Hof.
You know, off the breathing, cold showers. And then, but when you combine that with also meditating and like really becoming one with your mind, like how do those for you have an impact on each other?
Yeah. I think one of probably, I guess the biggest impacts is heart rate. And having that controlled breathing, taking the cold showers, the meditation. I do track all of my vitals. I've got an Oura ring and a Garmin watch as well. So, you know, keeping track of my heart rate variability is important to me. And so being able to maintain a level head I guess a level spirit is extremely impactful. So when I deal with a stressful situation, I don't get anxious. I don't get overworked. I'm able to approach it with a level mind. To your point, there's a very strong connection between mind, body, and soul, and being able to, I guess, navigate those channels is not something that everybody is willing to do. And when you are able to, you can become so much more productive and such a, you become more productive and you become, less prone to anxiety and stress. That's probably not the best way to put it, but that's the idea.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, there's such a level too, I think, nowadays with all the technology that we have. You know, we're constantly on a computer or on our phone or something like that. We just get so disconnected from our mind and our body. And it almost, you know, makes me question, like, what kind of damage does that do to our cells when we don't take time to, like, just be in ourselves, you know? And I think, like you talked about, meditation is a huge part of that. The physical, I think, I really noticed, like, especially, like, doing a fast or something like that, when you, like, feel that hunger, but, like, more sharp. Oftentimes, you just become so much more focused, and like your energy is higher. Even though, like, it's an interesting effect for sure.
It is, and it's one I can't really explain. But I will say one of my favorite things that I've discovered is going on a long run prior to eating that day. You know, fasting for 15, 16 hours, I just perform so much better, and my mind is sharper during that lengthy run. It's, again, I can't explain the science behind it. I'm sure there are many people who can, but it is something that I really, really enjoy doing.
And then also on top of that, with the meditation and taking that time to be with your mind, could you explain how the meditation helps you and just kind of the benefits that you receive while in the meditation, then also just, cause it's something that we definitely haven't talked about enough on the podcast yet. And I just kind of love to hear some more of, your thoughts.
Certainly. And, I guess along that same line, I'll answer your question, and I am curious, kind of on a tangential in regard to meditation, for me, it's a practice that I need to be more consistent with. And I'm curious from your standpoint, whether or not you meditate, or, you know, in regard to your prayer in your life, if it's something that is done consistently, or if that's something that you, as, you know, I guess faith leaders or people of faith, how that works, because that's not something that I ever really got into in my life. But in regard to meditation, I generally do about a 20-minute meditation. The idea is to do it every day. Previously, I was doing guided meditations and just taking the instruction of meditation instructors and following the breath work and following, I guess the state of my mind, or the state that she guided me in. More recently, I've been doing unguided meditations. I generally use meditation as stress relief and relaxation. There are people who go much, much deeper than that, especially, you know, within the Buddhist faith. I will, like I mentioned, just take time to reflect on any thoughts, feelings, or emotions I have, do guided breath work, or I guess dedicated breath work, usually 6 seconds in, 6 seconds out, and just find that consistent, or that try to lower my heart rate as much as I can during that time. And I generally come out feeling refreshed with a new mindset and just kind of able to carry on with a lot less anxiety or stress in my day.
Yeah, I know I've experienced similar with, I try to go, I'm not as nearly as regular. I go for about 2 times a week to meditate. And it's not even very long, but because I'm still new at it, it's been definitely a progress from where I was. Because for me, it started with, you know, when I was a Jehovah's Witness, I prayed all the time. Like it was 5 times a day, you know, and then it's interesting, as like I was near the end of being a witness, the prayer like had this big spike, and it's probably the hardest I ever prayed. And I definitely think that if there is a God out there, probably did something. And then I got out, and then prayer just like, I just like couldn't do it anymore, because it's just so, especially as that faith slipped away. Every time I tried, even now, if I try to pray, like still, I like fall into the same habits and it just doesn't feel right. Cause it's like, oh, it just feels fake, you know? Yeah. And so it's cool with the meditation, like finding this new way of, this new form, you know, it's like,
You know, it's interesting thinking about prayer and meditation side by side, in that meditation, you're considering your thoughts and saying these thoughts are okay, and then moving on from them. Whereas in prayer, again, this is, you know, somebody who hasn't prayed, or at least not in an official capacity, for many, many years. You are thinking about things that you want to become better. You want to, you know, improve it in your own life, and the lives of the people you love and in the world. And so I guess, how does that dichotomy work with somebody who's done both things semi recently?
Yeah. And I will say too, so more from a like Christian perspective. So, Ash and I have actually at least did one meditation together, and like that was an interesting experience for me to see the like relationship between, there are aspects of meditation that are very similar to prayer.
Right.
And like a book that like really changed my whole perspective was this book called like God Has a Name. And it was more about, from a Christian perspective, but I think it's like Western religion can really implement this, where oftentimes like churches have made prayer this very like formal kind of like regimented process, like so for like what Ashton was talking about, where, you know, when he was a witness, he prayed 5 times a day, and then getting out, like you just fall back into the habit of like what that prayer looks like. And what that whole book was about is that prayer like can be anything, you know, like you don't have to like sit down, close your eyes, like fold your hands to like talk to, you know, the creator of the universe or God or a higher force. And so I found like that to be really interesting, because I always felt really guilty, like in church, because like the pastor would do the prayer and like my mind would just like go somewhere like completely different. Right. And I think like churches really fall into that, where it's always like a leaded prayer. Like the pastor is the person giving the prayer, and like you're just like reciting the words. And so it gets into this interesting thing where you're not really actually connecting to God on a personal level, I think, in situations like that. And so it's really easy for prayer to become this very surface level, I don't know, you just like do it because that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I think is cool about meditation that I think a lot of people can apply to their prayer life if they are praying to God, is this idea of like having like longer formed like prayers. So like for me, like I pray when I'm driving in the car. Like I don't close my eyes, obviously.
Right.
But I'm talking out loud as if like, I don't know, God was just like sitting right next to me. Because from a Christian perspective, if you believe that God knows everything you're thinking anyway, like what's the point of saying it in your head?
Right.
And so I don't know. I like that's also an interesting thing where like the power of prayer and meditation and also just like reflection on what's going on in your life.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to look one way.
That's, you know, it's, I mean, with that, for the example of talking in your car, that's positive affirmation as well. I mean, it's, you are maybe telling these things to God, but you're also telling them to yourself too. You, these are things that you want to affirm in your life, whether or not, you know, it's ridding yourself or something or bring positivity in your life. I mean, it's important to be able to recognize those things and admit those things to yourself.
Well, there's definitely a similarity, I would say, in, you know, you take... You're looking at, with both prayer and meditation, you look at the troubles in your life and you like come to terms with them and become okay with them, whether it's you believe that somebody else is helping you with them and you're like giving the weight to them, or whether like you're taking the weight off your shoulders and just like setting it on the grass beside you and just like looking at them and being like, I'm here and those are there. And both of them is like looking at the issues and like taking the weight off your shoulders.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. It's such an interesting discussion, especially because I don't know. I think it's been like the main focus of something I've like thought about, you know, is like how people, like even if you don't believe in a higher force, like how you can implement like systems or practices that like do better your life. Because that's like a really common theme I've just like seen with a lot of people. And it's not, you know, it's obviously not like every agnostic and not every atheist. But I do think that there is like being in touch with just like your humanity.
I agree.
In relation to other things is like so important. And I love what you said too about like how like getting in touch with your spiritual side like helped you get the motivation to like start your business.
You know?
And I think that there is something to that where this belief in something greater than yourself, like whether that just be a force or a force like with inside you, can like really motivate people to do something they feel like probably otherwise they might not feel like they can do. You know, especially in the business world, like some of the most interesting people I've like talked to are people who have like some type of spirituality where they were like able to do something like so beyond crazy and it worked. Because they don't feel like they're just an ant on the planet, you know, like they like feel this like force inside them or around them where they feel like they can do anything.
That's an interesting point. And, you know, for the longest time, I thought of faith as just another bad F word. I really did. And because, you know, I thought faith was equated with religion, with, you know, believe, knowing that you are at the mercy of a higher power. And maybe that is the way some people believe that to be, but you know, to have faith, you can have faith in yourself as well, to have faith in others, to have faith in the idea that you're capable of performing, like you said, thing or acts that are greatly beyond your current capabilities. I mean, that word I think is so, excuse me for saying this, bastardized into just being something that people really need to have faith. You need to believe in something greater than humanity. I think it's so multifaceted that it's really hard to pigeonhole it into, I guess, Christianity or any other religion.
Yeah, I know for me, one of the things that got me in meditating, because I've been out of, I mean, pretty much just not thinking about faith for definitely over a year, probably a year and a half and stuff. And then I was just kind of had this epiphany of like, man, but believing in something or having some sort of practice, I feel like would just benefit me. And it would be a shame like not to use that tool, especially meditation. I think it's so practical where it's like, hey, just like become more at peace with your mind, you know? You know, why wouldn't I want to use that?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why wouldn't I want to be able to, you know, if you're exercising, why wouldn't I want to be able to go run 10 miles or whatever, you know, whatever your goal is, you know, if you have these goals, like, why wouldn't you want to be able to do that? And if it just means, start meditating a couple times a week, or like you're saying, 20 minutes a day, if that can give you so much more of an advantage through life, and then why wouldn't you want to do that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and to your very same point, if there are elements of Christianity or other religions that are extremely beneficial to mankind and to yourself as an individual. And so why would you not practice those simply because they are associated with the religion? It's silly to equate certain ideas and beliefs into just being a person of religion because it is associated with that. If it's something that's going to help you, you know, such as, I don't know, any of the Ten Commandments, you know, why would you not practice those? And most people do, but they wouldn't really readily admit it because it's, you know, no, that's Christianity. I don't want to touch that. And so, you know, I've realizing I've come a very long way in the last 10 years because I would not have admitted that before, but just having those core assets of something, of a belief system, it's important to be able to, without ego, without bias, be able to practice those.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that too, because I think one thing that people, it's easier just to ignore it, where I think people look at the, you know, negative things that have happened through organized religion. But I think it's without acknowledging the fact that, like, when you're dealing with churches and you're dealing with people who are interpreting, you know, thousands and thousands of year old, yeah, you know, doctrine and beliefs, like, not everybody's always going to get it right.
Like, right. Right.
You know, and like our own, like, and going back to like your point about ego, like our own ego and our selfishness, like, gets in the way of that. And so, like, that's always like something I do try and like challenge people on, where, you know, maybe they grew up like culturally Christian or culturally Jewish or like whatever it may be, especially with like the Western religion, because I do think it is more of like an external practice. And I think that,
right,
Western religion just lends itself more to, it can be destructive, and like people can use it as a weapon.
I want to be very clear, like, yes, there are dangerous people in Christianity. There's also very dangerous people in atheism and every other religion. There are radicalized people in every subset of this race.
Yeah. But I think what's so interesting, and like what I would just challenge people, is like also look at like history and like what the doctrine actually teaches, right? So you like talk about the Ten Commandments and like, right, Jesus' parables, like there's like so much beauty within that. And I think there's a benefit for people where, even if you don't believe in, you know, the Christian God or whatever it is, like to be able to separate, like, what are the positives and like, what can I learn from this text? Like, what can I, yeah, learn from the Bible, and being able to separate that from humanity in a lot of, yeah, ways, and like how humans have used it.
Yeah. I mean, to enlarge on that, I think if you boil it down a bit, it's most of the problems that we end up facing are humans trying to lead other humans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, even lots of the teachers were of the faith, whether it's like Jesus or Buddha, mm-hmm, or whatever, mm-hmm, it's very much, hey, these will really help you. Yeah. Like, please use them, you know, but it's not like,
yeah,
I'm going to rule over you right now and like tell you how to do everything, you know, like, and you need to subscribe to my church and start, you know, paying me this much money, you know, yeah, or anything like that. It's all about trying to help people. And yeah, so it becomes a struggle when it turns into leading people. And like, mm, I think that's where, I mean, kind of with everything, imperfect humans leading imperfect humans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a
and
lot
I,
of
and
ball.
I think that that's like just such like, and I get why it would be hard for people to like get over that hurdle where they like see destructive things happen in the name of religion and they go, well, why would I want anything to do with this? Like, why, like, right, why would I even like spend any of my time on it? And so that's what I just find so interesting about like religious studies, especially where, like, when you start diving into like the history of all these different faith practices and like how Buddhism came out of Hinduism and how Islam came out of Christianity, and you like look at all the like connecting the dots, like you see that it's so much bigger than just, oh, this one person did this thing once, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. I think like, I just find your like story very, I don't know. I find it so interesting, enlightening, because it's like a lot of people like don't get to make that jump, you know? Like,
yeah,
they kind of just stay within that agnostic atheism, or maybe like that or like what you were kind of saying, at least for your personal experience of like that ego really like kind of took over.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's encouraging.
Well, I think a lot of people, whether it's Christianity or atheism, they want to feel like they belong somewhere. And when you try to go out on your own and figure out what it means to you, or what, you know, what is a good guidance system for you, you're alone. You really are. And so you, I guess you're no longer a part of that, that brotherhood, if you want to call it that. It's you have to be willing and able to make decisions for yourself and not necessarily listen to any one ideology. And that's hard and it's scary. It scared the crap out of me for a long, long time. But once you're able to do it and you're able to think clearly for yourself, you can figure out what works best with your own, within your own life, within your own faith-based system. And a lot of times people will come to find that Christianity or Buddhism is the right path for them. But at that same time, they are ridding themselves of that groupthink, of that mentality that it's us versus them. And that's, I think, extremely important, especially now.
I think to enlarge on that, I think part of the problem is that so oftentimes when relationships we make, whether it's ourselves with a partner or ourselves just with friends, are so often dictated by our faith. I think many people in our society, you know, that's how we live. It's like, oh, if you're a Christian, then you have your church friends, you know, or if you're atheist, then you have your friends that you love to talk science with and, you know, pick apart different things. And so it's hard when I think oftentimes that can easily derail our journey through discovering who we are and discovering what we believe in. There is an importance in creating a space and in our society that, hey, like you, this space is for your journey and the space is for you to keep moving forward and to keep discovering new things about yourself and what you
think. Absolutely. You know, one thing that one thing I had on my goal list for this year, which kind of got derailed like everything else because of COVID, was going to a silent meditation retreat, which scares me. And it also is empowering to think about because the people with whom I've spoken who have done that have just learned so much about themselves and about what meditation and that practice means to them. So I do still aim to do so, probably not in 2020, but it is a pursuit that I want to embark on in my life.
Yeah, I get that. That'd be really fun just kind of experiences that completely change what we're used to in our day-to-day life.
No talking.
Yeah, that's I don't know if that's so much the hard part, or if it's a sitting in meditation for 8 to 10 hours. I've heard horror stories about just being extremely uncomfortable, but you know, you learn about your own resiliency and how much you can really, you know, stand to bear as a human.
Yeah.
Well, that's like the whole, I mean, that goes back to, you know, the Wim Hof, like cold showers, going on a run, the fasting. Like, I think that there is something like very spiritual about, you know, like kind of what Ashton said about like the connection between the spiritual and the physical, you know, and like understanding like how insane there are things like our bodies can do. Like we watched the Free Solo documentary.
Yes.
I like still think about that where like, it's like unfathomable that like someone could do that. Like that the human body has the ability to do something like Free Solo.
To climb like
and it's like, and I know maybe it sounds like really cheesy, but like there's something like very, like it's very spiritual.
I agree with you.
The movie just gave me extreme anxiety the whole time, but I don't know. Like there's just something about it where like the human body and the mind, like to be able to get in the right headspace to do something that in a lot of ways, I think almost like science would tell is like physically impossible.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's,
you know, I love that movie, and actually got into rock climbing because of it. Alex Honnold, who is the subject of that documentary, he's been a weird inspiration for me over the last year or so. when you watch it, if you watch it, you'll think that something is honestly wrong with him. He's incapable of seeing anything but the mountain in front of him. And the fact that he is marrying, I can't remember her name. But the fact that he's able to maintain that steady relationship has surprised me, because it's both awe-inspiring and kind of sad that all his entire focus is on that mountain. And the fact that he's able to overcome everything else in his life so he can climb over 2,000 feet without a rope, it's absolutely incredible. And he's just a different type of human being. And it's always inspired me thinking about, you know, his path and his journey.
Yeah, totally. Well, to kind of start wrapping it up, Trey, there's one thing that you would want listeners to take away from the journey that you've had, and from where you started to where you're at now, what would be the one thing you'd hope listeners could take away?
Demand better for yourself. I like I said earlier, I operated under the assumption for a very long time that everything that I always hoped for and dreamed of doing was just going to happen overnight. I wasn't going to have to put in the work to make it happen. I was going to wake up and I was going to be a successful author or entrepreneur. That is not the case. And I know that is what social media tends to tell us, that there are overnight successes, and that's just not true. You need to demand better for yourself, and you need to do more and start putting in the work now if there's something you want to accomplish. That's become my life motto, my life mentality over the last few years. And I really hope that if I can instill anything in anybody, that's what it is.
Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode with Trey Kaufman. We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Trey, took some things away, and can feel confident to implement spiritual practices into your daily life. We love promoting our guests' work, and so be sure to check out Trey's own podcast, the Mosaic Life Podcast, where he aims to help people break through to eternal happiness through their faith and other pursuits. Thank you again for tuning in to the What the Faith Podcast, and be sure to stay connected with us. Be sure to check out our website, whatthefaith.space. Once again, that's whatthefaith.space, and we'll be back next week with a brand new episode.